This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. All right. It is a choice to rejoice in the fact that we're here today. God has already blessed us because we know there were people that went to bed last night that did not wake up today. There were famous people. There were people that aren't famous. There were loved ones. There were lonely ones. There were people surrounded by family and friends. There were people that died alone. There are people that died after a long, lengthy life. There were people that died a very tragic struggle. And I thought, man, Eric, your circle of prayer last week, just talking about that. And I thought, church, can we just take a minute to pray for what's going on in this country? For what's going on in this world, our community, things all around us. Uvalde, Texas, the tragedy at the school. Young lives taken. Buffalo, New York. Lives taken because they didn't like a certain type of person. Mental illness, which is causing great distress in our world today. Depression. Oppression. The Ukraine. Things going on in other parts of the world that we can easily say, I don't want to be a part of that. Great, go to Oklahoma City and count the number of people that have been shot this year alone. Count the number of people that have been killed this year alone in our own community. This world needs prayer. This world needs God. This nation needs it. The world needs prayer. People that are struggling with mourning and sadness and loneliness. Your own personal struggles, whatever they may be. Can we just take a minute to go to the Lord in prayer before we start today? Before we read out of His Word. Let's be obedient to His Word and go to the Lord in prayer. Whatever your prayer is, I don't care if you pray aloud or silently. Let's just take a minute to pray. Lord, hear our prayers today. Amen. We get going and we get going and we fail to slow down. Say, you know, I can pray about that. How do I do? How do I fix? How do I change? How do I correct? How do I heal? I can slow down and just pray about that. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. And as you're turning there, man, this is just Memorial Weekend. Man, it's a great time for people to get away and get out, except for some of us that have to work on those Memorial Weekends. Yeah, I know it stinks, man. Corey says, yes, I know that feeling. They were very busy. I was busy yesterday. Able to sneak away today for a little bit. But Memorial Day was created to honor and remember those that were lost while serving in the military. And the Bible has many stories about memorials set as well. Many stories. We're just going to look at three today. So we'll look at a couple things, and we're going to look at the ones in the Old Testament. And those memorials were set in the Old Testament to give testimony to God's goodness, His faithfulness, His comfort, His peace, His strength, His power, His love, His vision, His help, memorials to His victories. So today in Genesis chapter 28, as we look at that. We're going to start in verse 10 and read through 22. And I won't read all the things leading up to that, because really I just want to talk about the memorials that they have. But Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. And it says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of those stones of the place, and he set it under his head, and he lay down in a place to sleep. And then as he slept, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth, and the top of the ladder reached to heaven, and there are angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Verse 15, "And behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Let me remind you today, surely the Lord is in this place, in case you did not know it or forgot it. "And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.' Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up as a pillar. He poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me, and if he will keep me in this way that I am going, and if he will give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth.'" When he had had the vision, Jacob said, "Surely God has spoken to me. He has told me what this place is. He is with me. Therefore, I will build a memorial to him, and I shall change the name of this place and call it Bethel, which means house of God." Now, when this happened, it caused Jacob's faith to grow. But think about it. When this became an important house of worship for people to come to in later years, it also increased their faith. This is a house of worship today. It has caused my faith to increase. I hope it has caused your faith to increase. But also for generations to come. You know, I remember when Eric and I went down to Guatemala, and I asked Gregory, I said, "Gregory, what caused you to build all this?" And he said, "My father and my family, we slept out in the fields that we worked in." And he said, "One night, a vision and a dream came to my father. And the vision and dream came to another man that visited the field. And that man was a missionary. And he came and he saved my family from that field. And we said together, on this day, we will submit our lives to Christ. We will commit our families to Christ. And we will commit our futures to Christ. We will build places that worship him." And they built their school and their churches around Guatemala, so that their faith grew. But the faith of generations to come continued to grow. This ties in with the biblical story here as well. When he had a vision and he said, "I will build this. I will take the stone that was under my head, and that will be the memorial that I build." Now turn over a little while to Joshua 4, or a little bit in your Bibles, to Joshua chapter 4. And in Joshua chapter 4, we're going to read verse 1 through 8, and then we'll skip a little bit and go to the end of the chapter. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And it says, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here. Take them out in the midst of the Jordan from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in the time to come. And they say, What do these stones mean? What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And he carried them over to the place where they had lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day." Now skip over to, fix my Bible there. Skip over to verse 19. And we'll read that through the end of Joshua chapter 4. It says, "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Now this one is a little different. The memorial was erected as a sign to God's what? God's love and his help for his people. They've dried up the river, allowed them to cross over. Verse 21 and 22, notice he says the memorial wasn't just for the people witnessing the miracle. It was for what? Future generations. When your children ask, and tell them, and tell all the people what God has done here. Our faith is the same thing. When your children and your grandchildren ask, tell them what God has done in your life. You know, my wife and I attended a wedding yesterday, and the pastor that did it was 87. Him and his wife had been married for 67 years. Wednesday will be 67 years. And he had known this family for a long time, had been friends with the parents for 60 years. And all the different places he had been, and he had started churches, and he had built churches. He had designed stained glass to go in churches here in Oklahoma City. He's an amazing man. Cindy and I had met him before and spent time with him. And I love the stories that he tells. And he says, "I'm able to tell my children and grandchildren. Now we enjoy great grandchildren. By the way, that man is busy today. What's he doing? He's leading a Sunday school class of 30-some people at 87 years old. But he said, I love being able to tell the generations what God has done and how God has used me. This is a perfect example. God wants us to proclaim what? His goodness. And he wants us to proclaim his goodness, not just right now, but in the future and to future generations. We've got babies, we've got young children. They're crying, they're screaming, they're walking, they're talking. Fantastic. Let us see, because children are part of the goodness of God. Amen? Those people remain silent that had children that didn't behave. No, I'm just kidding. But that's why I love children, and I love seeing that. And when I looked out today and just saw so many people holding babies during worship, I thought, God is so good to us. He's so good to us. And sometimes, what do we have to do? I love our beloved friend Dwayne. He said, man, I always just prayed that God would remove the scales from my eyes. And we continue to do that. The New Testament talked about the man that asked Jesus to save his child. And what did Jesus ask him? He said, do you believe? And I love that story because it reminds me of us. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Remove the scales. Lord, didn't you remove those last week? Well, yeah, but you grew new ones. I don't know what happened, but you grew new scales. So, man, could you just ask me to remove them again? Lord, remove my scales again. I see them starting to cloud my vision. I see them starting to mess my sight up of people. God wants us to proclaim His goodness. We're going to read one more story, and I don't know which one I love. I said I love this one more, but when I get to the next one, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7. But they said in that last one we just read, remember, when your children ask, tell them. Tell them of the goodness of God, His love for us, and His mercy for us. Samuel chapter 7, verse 7 through 12. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And I thought that part alone was interesting. Man, will you pray to our God for us? And we do that sometimes. Hey, Jan, will you pray to your God or our God for us? And we reach out to our prayer partners. And there's nothing wrong with that. Remember, we can do it ourselves. But they told him, please, do not cease, not just to pray, but to cry out. Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day. And that loud thunder confused them, that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far below as Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Samuel's memorial was set as a reminder of what God had done for them. Ebenezer, the stone of help. Our God has helped us. He has showed us mercy, kindness. Samuel knew the source of the victory wasn't just because of them, but it was because of God, and he publicly declared it. When we have victories, a couple weeks ago, I said, remember when we say, God, if you'll just get us through this, man, we will just bless you. And then he gets us through it, and we forgot that God was the one that got us through it. Not Samuel. Samuel knew it. He said, my God has got us from here. My God, thus far the Lord has helped us. I will set this stone as a memorial. Why? I'm going to proclaim it publicly. And we have such a hard time sometimes talking about our faith publicly. But we have to give God the glory. For what? Just the good? We're studying Job and Ground Zero. And last week we were talking about his friends. You know, we're upset that God had done that. And, you know, what had he done in his wife? You know, hey, curse God and die. And Job said, did we not give him glory in the good things and thank him for that and acknowledge him in that? Why not acknowledge him as we go through struggles and strife? Church, that is hard to do. Man, I'm going through stuff. Lord, I know I should be blessing you, but man, it's a struggle right now, God. Why would you allow this to happen to me? You know how hard that is on me. You know I'm not set to deal with that. You know, whatever it is. Samuel knew the source of his victory, and that was God. And he knew also he had to proclaim it publicly. All the glory went to God. The memorial set up ensured that everybody knew that coming forward. Our band's going to come up and we're going to sing about the goodness of God. But here's what I want you to think about today. I want you to think about, what is your memorial to God? What is your memorial to God and why? And I want you to take just a minute to answer that. We talked a couple weeks ago, and I reminded you. And I said, I will glorify God by what? Number one, loving others. Number two, serving others. And number three, you fill in the blank. I will glorify God by doing these things. Today, as we celebrate the Memorial Weekend, and I say celebrate as we honor those that have lost their lives serving in the military. What is your memorial to God and why? Well, I've got a cross on my mantle at home. Great, do people know what that means? Well, I've been through something and everybody knows I came through it. That's great. Do they know who brought you through it? You give God the glory in that. This song that we're about to sing is your memorial. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Man, there's no better memorial than singing about His goodness and His mercy. His Word says His mercies are renewed every day. It says, all my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so good, God. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. As I prepared this message the last couple weeks, I thought, I remember Mark Caldwell. With every breath that I am able, and he gave God glory. And Pastor Jack said at his service, one of the last things he did was take communion. And I thought, man, what a memorial. God, this hurts me to swallow this and to take this. But with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God through my actions, through my words, through my dying breath. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. And I reminded our youth group, in the midst of our battles, when God is silent, do not mistake that for his lack of presence in your life. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. We all, no matter what we have been through, we all have lived in the goodness of God. Amen? No matter what, we all have lived in His goodness. Heavenly Father, I ask you today to remind us of your goodness and your presence in our life. Lord, I ask you to draw us to you. Lord, I ask today that as a memorial, we sing this song to you. To publicly proclaim your goodness. That others may hear us. In Jesus' name, amen.